for the first message then today, Mr. Jakob Jesse.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and everyone listening in to us as well. May you have the lovely weather we're having here. Brethren, it is most certainly a great privilege, like we heard in the opening prayer, to be instructed by God, either in a service or in a Bible study. It is a unique opportunity. Every service, every Bible study is an investment that God makes in us. It is time that God spends in training and teaching us. And Christ and God the Father listens and they watch. And it's up to us to listen and to do those things we hear when we are taught by God. What do I mean? Listen or not to listen. It's our choice whether we listen to what we hear or whether we don't listen. What do I mean by that? I would like to use the following experience I had as a young man in learning to fly an aircraft. This goes back to 1962 when an ad in our local newspaper called for any person who would like to fly an airplane to contact the following telephone number. When doing so, I was instructed that I would have to pass a test and that I should have to answer some questions. And if I should successfully pass, the government of the day would pay all the costs involved for me to attain my pilot's license. Now, I did pass the test and was allocated as my instructor a World War II pilot who flew Spitfire airplanes by the name of Cecil Stark. He taught me the rules of flying. He taught me never to compromise on the rules or letting down, not even once, if I want to stay alive. The first few hours he showed me takeoffs and landings. And then we went on to the aerobatics, which every pilot needs should he get into a bad storm or lose control, how to gain control of an aircraft. That's why the aerobatics is the important part. Now, that includes spins, tight turns, and loops, all to assist when things go wrong. My first valuable lesson came one day. In the late afternoon, we were scheduled for an aerobatics trip. We were going out to do aerobatics. Now, Mr. Stark was flying all morning. And he had hour sessions with students. And I came in about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so I knew he was flying all morning. When my turn came, he said, as I was taught, to go and do a pre-flight inspection on the aircraft. I started doing this inspection, and I thought to myself, you know, this plane has flown all morning. Why do I really need to go and check if there's fuel, water in the fuel? Should I really check whether the ailerons are all in place and the rudder is in place? And I'm carrying on with my check, but this is in my mind. You know, is it really necessary? I mean, the plane has been flying all day. Why should I check all these things out? When I came to the rudder, I found everything to be in order. There was no water in the fuel. I felt the ailerons in place. The oil in the engine was fine. I did the flaps, checked everything, checked the undercarriage, and I came to the rudder. And in closer inspection, I found that the top hinge on the rudder had snapped off. I couldn't believe it. I called Mr. Stark, and he came immediately. He took one look at this, and he immediately walked to the main building and organized that this plane be removed from the runway immediately and be replaced with another plane. And he explained to me once again the importance of not compromising. Not to ever compromise with the rules as we are taught. He said we were on our way to do spins. And when in a spin, you need your rudder to come out of the spin. And he said we most certainly would have crashed that day. This brought home vividly the point of not compromising with the rules. For those things that we are taught. Please turn with me, brethren, to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. And let's just read verses 35 and 36. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Our instruction is to watch, and he says, lest he comes and find us sleeping. The rule said to continually check these things when you do a pre-flight inspection. If you're let down, you would be found sleeping. Let's turn to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. It says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. I'm giving you a physical example, but it does hold into the spiritual realm as well. That we have to be, if I didn't do those checks which I was taught to do, I would not have found that rudder hinge snapped off, and I would have been in grave danger. And brethren, so are we if we do not watch. The next example that I learned from this experience of learning to fly was a few hours later. Now, our normal sessions was an hour session, so this was a few hours later. And it shows to what extent God will go to make sure that we get it. I had now completed 7 hours of training and had to do some more spins. So off we go to the area where normally, it was a particular area where we could go. It was safe, there were no houses, and we do all our spins and aerobatics there. So if you crash, there's no houses underneath. So we're off to go and do our spins. On the way there, suddenly the engine cut out. It stopped dead. Now, when an engine cuts, you are taught the first thing you have to do is to trim the aircraft to continue the flying speed. You mustn't lose speed. You trim the aircraft, and it actually goes into a steady glide at 80 miles per hour. Once you've trimmed the aircraft to fly safely, you immediately start the procedure of trying to restart the engine. And no matter what I tried, the engine would not restart. I looked at Mr. Stark and I said, forced landing. He said, if you think so. And immediately I went and leaned out the window to see where I'm going to put this plane down now. I found a spot which, from where we were at 4,000-5,000 feet up, that I said, that looks a likely place. What do you think? He says, if you think so. So down we came. And I was gliding down, and I did my normal, as I was taught, first the cross run of the area to check if there's any logs and trees or animals on the area you want to land. And then I turned final. And by this time I was really getting nervous. The final approach was coming, and I was getting ready to land. I have no engine. I've done everything right up to this point. And I'm saying to myself, Mr. Stark, whatever you did to cut this engine, you can start the engine now. Because you can see that I am not going to overshoot. I am going to make it. I am going to go down. And everything in the procedures was as I was taught. And he didn't. And my wheels were skimming the tall grass, and I said, start this thing, start this thing. And he just sat with a straight face until the wheels were on the ground safely. And I was running on the ground. And he quickly opened the fuel cock, put mixture rich, turned the key, and the engine started, and we were off. And it was an incredible lesson that we learned, that I learned. I have subsequently seen that God does take us right to the final moment, as he did with with Abram. When that night was up and the mind was fully set, God says, now I know. And these experiences that we have in life, brethren, are all designed. Every service we sit in, every Bible study we sit in, is designed to train us. Mr. Armstrong continually said, we are being trained as kings and priests, and we dare not compromise or let up on one of the smallest rules, otherwise we could find ourselves in grave danger. For the final scripture, I want to turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, and starting in verse 8. And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draws near. Go you not therefore after them. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse or different places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall be there from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Let's go down to verse 22. But these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down to the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Let's go to verse 36. Luke 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man, having heard everything that we were taught.